Microphone. Hey, it is Mr. K. We are live on CKMS 102.7, a very fun, exciting edition of My Audio Face. So much stuff to pack into 1 hour. We are going to start in just a minute with a live interview about poo-poo. So stick around for that. I don't know if I can say that it's... I won't say it. I'm going to be all cool tonight.
It's after 9 o'clock.
I know, but it's actually The Power of Poo is the official title. So we're gonna have a really good chat about that in just a minute. And
you should have brought some poutine.
Poutine. Oh yes, we could have done that. So stand by, because Mr. K forgot his cable, so he's not set up.
That's all right.
All right, so here we are, and do I have a Dougald with me?
Yes, you do.
Awesome. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing great. You've taken a coveted special slot that I usually reserve for my, hang on a sec, there we go, for my intro. I skipped it tonight.
Okay.
I'm too excited to talk about poo. So hopefully the folks listening know what I'm talking about. If not, they're going to go, okay, he's completely gone off his rocker tonight. But right. No, folks, I have not. We're actually here to talk quasi-seriously about the world premiere of Myth or Science, The Power of Poo, that you were the executive director of, correct?
Correct.
And so tell us, and this is going to be, it's on CBC, The Nature of Things, on Sunday, but the world premiere is actually happening tomorrow. Is that right?
That's right. We're showing it at the Ontario Science Center on Saturday afternoon. So that's its first. I guess the reality is that it will go online on Friday at about 5 p.m. So that's probably the first time it's available. Then again on Saturday at the Science Center, and then it goes to air across the country on Sunday night at 8 p.m.
Wow. And now I know why I would be interested in a subject like that, because I just am. Just ask my family. But tell me how we kind of came from the science aspect of it to turning this into a full documentary.
Well, interestingly enough, our host Jennifer Gardy, of course, is a microbiologist, and we're always on the lookout for. This is the sixth Myth of Science that we've made for The Nature of Things, so we're always on the lookout for the next topic. And Jen emailed me at one stage and said, you know, I really think that there's some amazing stuff being done in the world of science when it comes to poo. And, of course, I was like, are you sure? But when we dug into it, we basically discovered that there is some amazing science being done, and that those scientists are discovering that, you know, maybe this isn't a waste product, and maybe we're actually throwing something down the drain or down the toilet that we shouldn't be. And when we started to dig into the subject, sure enough, we discovered that was the case.
And it's you'll forgive me, because it must be hard to not want to make puns every second sentence. So I'm going to try and hold myself. I'll try and hold them in. See?
No, don't worry, because I mean the emails that have gone back and forth over the last year have just gotten worse and worse within our team. It's impossible to avoid the puns. Absolutely impossible, let me tell you. But that's what's fun about this. It's a serious topic in a lot of ways because of the science that's being done. But we try to have some fun with it, because how can you not? It's poo.
Absolutely. And I mean, certainly what I hope people take away from the humor, the lightheartedness, isn't to dismiss or diminish any of the findings, but to sort of also help maybe break the ice. For some people, it's probably a lot more uncomfortable than others. And, you know, just like anything else, ignorance doesn't solve anything.
That's true.
Just look south a little bit. But, oops.
That's very true.
Oh, dear. That might have been some static. I don't know what that was. And I'm just reading one of the quotes that Dr. Gardy has. She says, we're hardwired to believe that excrement is gross, but scientists are beginning to realize that there may be more to our stools than meets the eye and nose. Yep. And obviously, we don't want to give away everything from the show, but basically, she's going to go out and find out all kinds of benefits. And is there anything sort of immediate takeaways that people can go do themselves after the show, or is this a little more longer term and on a larger scale?
No, we do. We look at, our goal always is to take things that people may have heard and may believe are true and test them to find out whether they really are true or not. So there are quite a number of takeaways. I mean, one of the ones is that there's many people out there, Gwyneth Paltrow is one, who advocates the idea of getting a colon cleanse on a regular basis. And the belief is that over time, our colons get impacted with poo that just doesn't, find its way out. Mm. And so that's one of the ones that we look at. Jen actually swallows quite a large pill cam.
Okay.
And it travels over an eight-hour period down through her entire gastrointestinal tract and takes thousands of pictures, which get put together in the end into a little movie. So you can actually tune in and see the inside of Jen's GI tract as this little amazing camera makes its way down through. And our goal was to see, if Jen had never had a colon cleanse in her life, so if anyone was going to be impacted, it was going to be her. And the goal was to see whether she was or not, and whether it's true that you need these colon cleanses. So if you watch the show, you'll find out whether you do or not and whether you should be doing these. And I can tell you that, without giving away all the detail, that, we speak to a gastroenterologist, and, his view is that these things are not only not necessary, but they can be unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get rid of good bacteria that's in your gut that you kind of need, and there's all sorts of side effects that can happen. So that was one of the ones where there's clear takeaway for people, and there's other ones we look at. Should poo float, for example? We look at why dogs scratch the ground after they poo, and what shape should your poo be? What color should it be? All those kinds of things are discussed because we all think about it. And the goal was to try to provide some answers.
To me, there's just a whole panoply of things to cover there. I don't even know. I'm almost without speech trying to think of, okay, which one. The good thing is there can be nothing inappropriate to say here, I suppose.
No, there really can't. And, we do cover the whole range. We one of the questions that we're asking is, can you get drinking water from poo?
Mm-hmm.
And Jen goes out to the west coast of the United States to meet an engineer who's trying to answer that question. And, she gets a chance to drink poo water in the show to try to deal with whether or not it's true that you can get water from poo.
Right.
We also examine whether poo can be used to help save an endangered species. In this case, we look at an amazing pod of orcas that are just off the south part of Vancouver Island.
Okay.
An extraordinary program, that uses dogs to actually track orca poo on the ocean. And they get hold of that poo and they analyze it, and that information gives them a whole pile of details about what's happening with those orcas and allows them to manage them in a way that's not as invasive as it would be to put a tag on them or put a beeper on them, all that kind of thing. So it's quite amazing. We discovered what you can actually discover from poo,
mm-hmm.
What it can actually help you do.
Yeah, no, I think there's a ton. There's tons of good material here. And even when you were talking a little bit earlier about the GI tract, and it is something that, although I don't think you're directly, you're sort of touching on, is there's an awful lot of science or focus also on getting the good bacteria or the right balance of bacteria in your gut, and people either changing what they eat, whether it's probiotic based stuff, or I know at some point one of the other questions I think that you guys answer is, does a vegetarian's poo smell better?
No.
I'm hoping to find out, because I actually switched removed all, I removed all meat from my diet maybe 8 months ago. The initial results from an informal poll would not suggest that there's been a smell improvement, at least in my case. So now, I'm hoping maybe there's maybe I'm not doing it right, the non-meat eating, but it still stinks on my end.
Well, you know, and this is one of the challenges of poo, as you'll discover, and you know, there's a process that takes place in your gut. And you know what's great about this episode, and we try to do this all the time, is that Jen basically goes through all sorts of experiments, and she's a bit of a guinea pig herself. So, but she's a microbiologist, so she thinks this kind of stuff is cool, which is great. So
yeah.
She has to provide samples on a pretty regular basis for this episode, and she did a vegetarian diet for a week, and then she took a break, and then she did a meat diet for a week, and she supplies these samples, and this extraordinary scientist from the University of Guelph was able to actually analyze the samples and figure out what chemicals were in it. And then she recreated those chemicals in a bottle so that we could then get some poor sniffers, we called them, from the University of Guelph, some volunteers who came in to smell each of these bottles, one that had the smell of Jen's veggie poo and the other that had the smell of her meat poo.
Okay.
And give us an idea of, on a scale of 1 to 10, how they smell. So that's the experiment that we conduct to figure out the answer to your question. So
yeah,
it was quite an extraordinary experiment and an amazing process to watch the scientists actually analyze a sample and be able then to recreate its smell using a whole series of chemicals that these poor sniffers then had to smell.
Well, hopefully this has gotten people intrigued enough to tune in. So we've got the world premiere, you said, is tomorrow at the Science Center?
So tomorrow's Thursday, Friday night at 5 p.m. It'll be online.
Yeah, I'm skipping days. I thought we were Friday tomorrow. You're right.
I know, I'm getting confused too. So the Friday, they now released the program early. Then on Saturday, it's on at the Science Center in Toronto. And then on Sunday night at 8 p.m., 8:30 in Newfoundland, it's on air across the country on The Nature of Things.
On The Nature of Things on CBC. Thank you very much. We've been speaking with, I want to pronounce it right. Kevin, can you do it? Dougald Maudsley.
Absolutely. You nailed it.
From Myth of Science, which is the sixth one, The Power of Poo. And Dr. Gardy is the microbiologist and star, if we want to call her that, of the show, who we're going to have the... I like your term guinea pig. I think for what she's going to be doing, it's pretty appropriate.
Yep.
So that's on The Nature of Things this Sunday. And as you said, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern Friday, it will be available online, cbc.ca/Nature of Things. Thank you very much, sir. We're going to play a song to get us into our music. They didn't write it for the show, but this is actually a local band called Monarch Woods, and this song is called The Dark Strain. So we're going to lead into that. And I thank you very much, sir. Have a great evening.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Take care.
All right, that was Orexin, local band with hardcore dancers. Get out of the pit. You were listening to Mr. K on My Audio Face. Before that, The Dark Strain from Monarch Woods, and that was leading off from an interview we did with Dougald from Infield Fly Productions, who are putting out Science or Myth, The Power of Poo. Yes, poo, P-double-O, the caca, the shit. Sunday night, that's on Nature of Things. The world premiere, if you cannot wait for Sunday night, is it will be available online Friday at 5. I am super excited to have a unannounced guest in the studio, Rod from The Pit. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. This is such a Metallica walked in.
Right.
That's what it's like for me.
It's something like that. Well, thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Unless you think Metallica sucks, then it's like, no, okay, well, somebody else then.
Switch the band. No, but you know what? It's been a long time since I've been on in the radio world, in the sense of actually being in a radio studio. So it's kind of nice to come back and see what it's all about. But I've been off doing my own thing radio-wise, but the more modern radio thing, I guess, the 2018 kind of thing. I'm doing a podcast instead. But yeah, it's radio's always been a fun thing. And, you know, we're lucky here in the community because we have stations such as CKMS and other radio stations that are local that support local music and give opportunities to DJs like yourself to come and do your thing. I think it's awesome because it's such a cool, if you're into radio, it's such a passion, right? And you want to do
it. For sure. Yeah. And it was great. We were together this past Saturday at the CKMS fundraiser, which was at Descendants. And that was a lot of fun for me because, I mean, I was involved. So I knew some of the bands that were going to be playing, notably Crimson Breed and Faulty Rivals and Jenny Howe's Duo. But we also had many of the other DJs that do some of the other music styles. And they had, I don't remember all the names, but one I want to give a shout out to is Dox, The Doctrine, who did some performance and blew me away. It was so cool. And you know, I like that small sort of environment, and you've got just, you know, bands play and then they take their stuff away and DJ plays and then boom, another band's up in a really, I thought it was a really nice laid back atmosphere. It didn't feel, you know, like a, well, there's no stage, right? That I like that difference. So that there's really no separation between the band and the audience.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be, because at the end of the day, you're just people doing different things.
Yeah.
And but it's cool that. But you know, like CKMS, it was sort of a perfect representation of what the station is, because a station like CKMS, where you can tune it in on a Wednesday at 10 and listen to some heavy music, and perhaps by Thursday you're listening to some rap, and perhaps by Friday there's country, and perhaps by Saturday there's some kind of multicultural show. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a perfect representation of our community here. Kitchener-Waterloo is a variety. Like, we have a variety of things.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and it's cool, because if we had the same thing, it would be boring as hell.
Yeah.
You need a variety, especially when it comes to music. Not everybody likes what you like.
Nope. No.
And it takes a lot of people a long time to realize that it's okay that other people like other stuff.
Oh, for sure. And absolutely. And, you know, if we, like you said, if we can reach a bunch of different people, and one of the things you mentioned is also being able to, you know, play for the community, but also play the community. So local artists, you know, like we played Orexin and Monarch Woods as two examples. You know, it's hard for unsigned or unrecognized bands to get played. It's the horrible catch 22, right?
Yeah, and that's why when I started doing The Pit, when I started my radio show, that's what it's all about. It's been about that for going on to 7 years now, which is to give bands that are heavy, because that's what I like, an opportunity to showcase their talent. And it is amazing to me over the years that I have been fortunate enough to hear hundreds of bands, the wealth of talent that we have to offer as a community, and even at a bigger spectrum, Ontario, and even bigger when you go national. Yeah. It is unbelievable, some of these bands. And you know what? The only reason why they are not recognized is just bad luck, because the talent is there. And perhaps if the right person heard the right band at the right venue at the right time, it would have happened. But at the same time, it's a catch-22, because now there's too much music.
I know. It's
saturated.
I remember, I mean, I wasn't in music, but I've always followed it as a listener. And certainly, you know, I remember, you know, the whole Napster thing when digital started to take over, and the idea was, okay, the business model is going to collapse, you know, and it will be, all the artists will be free and all the talent will rise to the top, and, you know, sort of the corporate structure that's controlling things is going to disappear. That was the you know, the fear for the companies, because they're like, well, we want to have our money. And it was supposed to be the panacea for the artists. The reality that it half happened. Like, the reality is that, yeah, they were, a lot of them were able to go direct, but the reality is now gazillions of artists that wouldn't even have published before can now rise. So you're competing with so many more people.
And that's what I, right? For bands, I always tell bands the following. You have to put yourself out there. And not just once, not just twice, not three times. You got to do it 1,000 times. Because what happens is that now we live in a world where information is really fast and people don't have an attention span. People want to know information quickly. And so if you don't put out your product out there often, guess what? Nobody's gonna hear it. Nobody's going to appreciate it. And nobody's going to remember it. And so if you don't do the work, because like you said, it's the market is saturated. Because one of the other things that happened, aside from music going digital and stuff, is that it made music, it gave artists more power, in the sense that as technology has improved, you can now have a band and record your music in your studio, in your bathroom, if you want.
Right. Whereas reasonably decent quality.
Exactly. I mean. Whereas before, well, not even that. Even if you're really good at what you're doing, if you're really good at the technical aspect of things, you can make your sound really good. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, you couldn't do that. You had to book a studio where it was costing you $1,000 to $2,000 an hour. Mm-hmm. And guess what? You weren't goofing around in those two hours. You went in there and you played your stuff, you recorded it, and hopefully it went well. You had to print the CD and all that stuff. Well, now you don't have that cost. It's much easier. Mm-hmm. You can pop on music, and what happens is that it's saturated, and only those bands that put in the work, that take the time to get their names out there, either to play venues or to make themselves known on social media, those are the ones that people remember. As talented as you are, if you don't promote yourself, no one's gonna know, aside from your family and your friends. But if you want to get a little bit bigger, you got to do the work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's you know, it's actually great that there's shows like yours, right, that can do that. So your podcast only right now, so where do folks go to hear and find The Pit that
Easy.
Don't already do it?
Yeah, you can check out my Facebook page. It's The Pit Radio Show. You can also find me on Twitter at The Pit Radio Show, or people can email me thepitradioshow@hotmail.com. It's The Pit Radio Show. It's pretty easy. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on SoundCloud. All my episodes are there, so if you like it, you can go back and listen to them over and over and over again. And the best thing about it, I tell people this all the time, the best thing about listening to my show on a podcast is that you can go and listen to the music and skip when I talk. So you can like fast forward the show and skip when I talk and get to the next song, because music, that's what it's all about.
What do you mean? You have it set up where you...
No. I'm just meaning that you have the capability of skipping the song.
No, I thought you had some extra cool way that you could actually say, okay, next song.
Yeah. So you can check it. It's free on iTunes. It's been on iTunes and SoundCloud for a long time. And you can sign up. You get notifications. I post it every Friday. It's 100% Canadian. It has been I've been doing it for a long time. I have kept it 100% Canadian since the beginning of The Pit, and I wanted to support Canadian bands. I started with local bands around here. All of a sudden I started getting, you know, Guelph, Hamilton, Toronto, and then I'm getting requests from all over Canada, and I play bands from across the country. I've interviewed bands from the Yukon, from Nova Scotia, I mean from coast to coast I played bands. So it's pretty cool, and it's an honor, and it's awesome. You know what, you have to give these guys a listen, because you will be amazed. I tell people this all the time. You will not like every song that I play, and that's okay. But if you like one or two, I did what I was supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Because now those bands have a new fan, and that's what it's all about. It, to me, is to grow the heavy metal community. I love metal. I don't want to see that music genre disappear. So I do my part to keep it going.
For sure.
Especially supporting local venues. I love going to live shows and stuff like that. And I love live music. There's nothing better than live music. So I go to a lot of local shows. So I support. Not only do I support the bands who play their music, but I actually go and support them.
By going
to their show and telling everybody about it.
Yeah, which is key. Absolutely. No, that's great. And so have you been following? I want to play a band here, but I want to see if I can lead us into it. Are you following the Vakken?
The Battle of the Bands.
The battles right now.
Yeah.
Have you been able to go out to any of them?
I have. I was about a year ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I went to a couple.
Okay.
So I know some of the bands. I play a lot of the bands. It's interesting sometimes for me. I get a request, for example, from bands. For example, let me see, Mandrew Echostar. A few years ago, they're a band out of Guelph. They're a seven-piece band. So about 5 years ago, I get this request saying, hey, can you play my music? I like their music. But whether I like it or not, I'm still going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they won the Junos for Best Metal Band.
Wow, eh?
So yeah. You see that progression. And I see a lot of those bands, like Luthera, for example. They are a band out of Hamilton, Ontario.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw them at the Kitchener Metal Fest last year. They were part of it.
Yeah.
I interviewed them. I had them on my show. I talked to Luthera. Combined to Oblivion is another band that's also playing same thing. It's the same thing. Vesperia that won.
That's right. They won two years ago.
Same thing. I saw them at the Kitchener Metal Fest. I had them on my show. Came is another band that they changed their names, but it came was another band that represented.
Came was the is that Decatur? No, Kane. I know that band. What did they
Came
become?
Used to be, I think they might have switched to Decatur.
Okay.
And by the way, Decatur is closing the Kitchener Metal Fest, happening on May 26th in Maxwell's. So looking forward to that. So I interview every band that plays the Kitchener Metal Fest. By the way, if you're in the Kitchener-Waterloo area, Guelph, Cambridge, Hamilton, you need to come down to the Kitchener Metal Fest because it's an outstanding night of music. There's going to be about six bands. And not only that, it's not only going to be awesome, I'm going to be the host. That's the bad part. But the good part, the good part is that there's going to be some awesome music, some cool pits. So hopefully we'll get some pits going. And the money goes to the Cancer Center of Waterloo region. That is the spirit to me of metal. Because those whatever people sometimes they perceive metal to be, they're wrong. They're a bunch of idiots. They're ignorant. And with events like this, we prove it. That, just because it's music, just because it's a different kind of music that perhaps you don't like, it doesn't mean that the people are bad. So that's what I like. That's what I like to build the community. So it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Luthera, what song are you
going to
play?
Yeah, well, I've got Black Scorpion, and they're going to the finals. So they're going to be going to Montreal.
A female fronted band. And you know what? A few weeks ago, I did a show where, because I like the fact that we got more females now in the scene. And a few weeks ago, I did a show dedicated to the females where all my music, all the bands that I played, were female fronted bands. And I had so many that I had to cut some, unfortunately.
Which is good. No, trust
it's
me, that's
great.
A good thing.
It is fantastic
that it becomes almost a non-issue, right?
Yeah, like, it should be. Hey, listen, the population is 50-50. You walk down the street, you see 50% male, 50% female. They should be like that in every business, and music is one of them.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, so come to think of it, so the next two songs, two more local bands, Luthera from Hamilton, who are headed off to Montreal in May to play at the Vakken Battle Eastern Finals. So when they win that round, I believe, then they come back to Toronto for the final. And we wish them well. So we're going to play Black Scorpion. And then right after that, I've got Bliss from the Faulty Rivals, local band. And they played at the show on Saturday at Descendants, female bassist. And, of course, I still notice these things because everything's still quite new to me in the broadcasting world and following the music from this angle. But also from growing up, you know, metal was, all bands were male.
Yeah.
Every play, and then you had, you know, one or two exceptions. And then there was, you know, it was exactly that. It was like, oh, that's an exception. And then, okay, then you go back to the norm. I like that it's just good. Who cares in a sense? I mean,
if you have the talent, if you play the guitar and you're a guy or a girl or you're 5 years old or you're 95 years old, if you can jam, you can jam.
Exactly.
One of the first female artists that I ever saw live perform at a metal, when I went to see White Zombie, I got to see White Zombie in Toronto, and their bass player was female. And I was like, wow, that was rare. But now I want to see it all the time. It's awesome. It's great. Plus, it gives you a different perspective on music. And we need to expand music, and it's for everybody.
Absolutely. So here we are with Luthera and then Faulty Rivals on My Audio Face. Right here on CKMS 102.7. Faulty Rivals with Bliss. They are playing this weekend. There we go. I think we got the right buttons going. I don't know.
Push them all. That's what I used to do. I was just like, just push them all. And then eventually,
something
by
works.
Mistake, they would work. I'd be like, cool. And that's what you do. You just got to push them all. And then just, that's what you do.
What I need to do, we didn't do it tonight. Just so to the folks listening, we're blessed with the presence of Rod from the Pit Radio Show, who's stopped in here on My Audio Face on CKMS 102.7. I didn't have a chance, Rod, to show you today, so we'll have to have you back so we can do it, as we now have full video capability in studio, and
it's
many of the shows...
It's better if the people don't see what's going on.
No.
It's better to see. It's better if we leave it the way it is.
But... so we can do full video. We've done some Facebook Live shows, and just one more avenue, because obviously FM's great if you're listening there. The station's also on Rogers Digital 946, and of course worldwide, radiowaterloo.ca/listen, and the TuneIn app. We're also in there. But, I thought that at first. I'm like, why on earth are we going to want video, particularly for my show? Turns out, it hasn't scared anybody away. It actually, some people are into that, you know, those sickos.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I'm not going to mention the person's name, but I went to a show and I was meeting people and I got introduced to one of the bands that I went to see, one of the members' wife or girlfriend or partner or whomever. Mm-hmm. And she goes, oh, it's great to meet you. And I was like, oh, thank you. Likewise. And she said, you know what? You don't look like I picture you. And I was like, oh, okay, sorry to disappoint. She goes, I thought you were really tall and white.
Oh, there you go.
And okay. I was like, well, you almost not got it.
Yeah, well,
So it's kind of like a book, right? Because, when you read a book, you imagine it differently than somebody else would. If you and I read the same book, the characters in our head are going to be different.
For sure,
And I think radio has that mystique of, well, what does a person look like?
Absolutely. But it's figuring out how to bring it in. I do see the value in bringing video in. It's just one more avenue, right? To me, they're all just different pipes.
Yeah, of course.
Some people like this one, some people like that one. And I remember when the first radio show on TV that I remember was one of the sports shows. And my initial reaction, like to most things, because I tend to be wrong about almost every trend, but I'm like, that's dumb. Why would I want to watch somebody
talk,
perform a radio show? Well, lots of reasons, because in fact, if you just step back a bit and don't call it radio, there's a whole ton of shows that have always been that. They've just always been on TV in the first place, but they're essentially people talking to each other. And we like it because then you can see the facial expressions. The really cool ones that you can't see is the person not talking or especially if there's three or four, the people that aren't talking, how are they reacting to the person talking?
Right.
On radio, you miss all that.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas if you're watching, you go, oh, okay, that guy's got something he wants to say or whatever.
Well, music is that.
Yeah.
When you think of music, you don't think of music. You don't go to watch music, right? You go to watch a movie.
Yeah.
Yet, live music, there is an element of greater interest when you go to a live show. Now, think about you're watching, in essence, you're watching somebody play music, something that was recorded for your ears, not for your eyes.
Yeah.
Yet when you put it all together, like I said, I love going to live shows.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited because I'm going to go see Slayer in the summer.
Yes.
I got a VIP ticket.
Right on.
In London, because guess what? Slayer's done. They're going to be done. With
So they say.
But you know what? It's a great lineup. I wanted to see.
Did you say London you're going?
Yeah, I'm going to the London show.
Okay.
On August the 6th.
Okay.
Is the day after the long weekend, just in case if anybody's interested. I had floor seats because I have to. I cannot go to a show and sit down. That's boring.
Okay.
I need to be in the middle of the pit. And just to go see them, Lamb of God, Testament, Behemoth, I mean, and Anthrax.
I mean,
that's a pretty solid lineup. So I'm going to go see. But that's one of those things, that it's music that's meant for your ears, yet you go out there and you go listen to it.
Or watch it. Yeah, and experience it, right? Because there's something... There's something about, well, being with other people that are into the same thing.
Yeah, it's a community.
That, you know, but even if you're really into it, you're not actually talking with those people at that moment. You're literally engaged in the music, but it's a community. Yeah.
And listen, this is what I tell people all the time. If you haven't been to a live show, and if you need help in finding venues and stuff like that, you obviously can check out my social media. I often post things there. You can find me at The Pair Radio Show, both on Facebook and Twitter. And there's a lot of local shows that are happening in Kitchener, Waterloo, Hamilton area, where, you know what, you go in there for $5-$10, you have yourself a great Saturday night, whether it be with your friends or with your partner or with whomever, or just by yourself.
By yourself, yeah.
You just go and have a great time. And you know what, you'll see some amazing talent. And sometimes those $10 are more valuable than paying $200 to see Metallica at the Rogers Center.
Oh, I can guarantee you, because I did that out of necessity. I didn't quite spend $200, but still, I was sitting up so far up this past year, not to go too far off, because I want to make sure we get into the... I want to list some of the shows that are coming up. But did you go see them?
I was on the floor.
Okay. So now, how was the sound for Avenged Sevenfold? Was it any better?
For the two old bands,
Wu-Tang
and Avenged Sevenfold, there was no guitar.
It was like we were way, way up.
Yeah, no, it was horrible.
And I mean, I love Avenged. And honestly, I thought, okay, I know now I don't know all their songs. I don't know all their albums. I started getting into them at Nightmare and Forward, and I knew maybe a song or two back. But I thought, I don't know any of their songs. But no, I just couldn't hear the friggin' songs. Metallica, magically, the sound was perfect. I don't know how that happened, because it wasn't... Yeah. So you can't blame the Rogers Center, because for Metallica, the sound quality was significantly better.
Oh, it was not even comparison. The only thing I found about that show was that Lars was off. He had an off night, and I had gone with a couple of people, and one of them, a drummer.
I didn't even notice. You could
hear that he was off.
Yeah.
But yeah, the sound was horrible. But like I said, you spend a lot of money, it's a big event, and it's fun, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I love going to there's lots of venues that I like. District up in Guelph, one of my favorite venues to go. I love going because, A, it's clean. It's not like you walk in and you're going to be like, oh man, I'm going to get stabbed. It's a clean venue. There is a lot of energy. People go and the sound is great. And you get to see these people perform live and they do an amazing, amazing job. And then you say, man, like that, maybe you don't like the band, but you'll leave it. Man, you see that bass player, or did you hear that drummer? Or you hear that guitar?
You can literally see them because they're like five feet in front of you.
And that dude who was singing, who was just, man, got the crowd going. That's the value that I find in local music, that connection. You can then just talk to the people. It is you gotta go. And you know what? I always tell people, take your kids. If you have kids, take your kids, take young people, take them to music. And if not, you know what? A good place, there is the summer is coming up, there is an abundance of live shows.
Yeah.
Even if it's not metal, whatever.
Start
people at an early age with live music, they'll be hooked. It's like a drug.
Are we March 28th? I guess we are. So we're
until midnight, yeah.
We're not going to about tonight's shows then. So, but tomorrow. So here's just a few to your point. A few of the amazing shows just from this weekend all around town. So tomorrow at O'Brien's, Botfly, Run of the Mill, UTL, and No Funeral. Friday at the Boathouse, Wow, this is actually quite... Invicta, Raider, Rippered, and Woof Out. Same Night at the Button Factory, Orexin, Illicit, What Freedom, Nancy Viscus, Helen Keller Band. Like, that's all one... So that's what? That's five bands at the Button Factory on Friday.
And you're probably going to pay $10.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to give you, just before you continue with
your
show,
as you're listing names. Just Thursday, Friday, and then I still have Saturday.
If you're listening out there and you're thinking about making a band that you're debating the name, excellent, debate it. But do me a favor and do yourselves a favor. If you come up with a name that people can pronounce.
Yep.
Because a lot of times people come up with names and nobody can pronounce, or it's a word that it's not, you're not familiar with. Mm-hmm. And it makes it difficult because people are not going to recognize you. You need to come up with a name, obviously be unique, but my suggestion, that you can pronounce.
Yeah.
Sometimes you come up, there are some bands and you're like, what?
Well, right. Yeah.
It makes a difference. Everything makes a difference. If you you have to understand music in all aspects. Whether if you're writing music, you understand it that way, but also you got to understand it from the marketing way.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that if you have a band that people can pronounce, another band that can't pronounce, they're going to remember the one that they can pronounce, even though that one might be better. Those little things are the little things that separate you from the other band. There is 1,000 bands. Why make it?
Which is a tough. I know a lot of bands or a lot of musicians would find that a hard message to accept.
Yeah, and that's right? Fine.
But that's okay, but it's still...
I'm just saying, it's, from my experience, I've been doing this for a long, long time, a few
absolutely.
Weekends already.
Yeah.
Right? I have met hundreds and hundreds of bands. And I'm just letting you know that when I talk to people, this is things that I talk to people about.
Yeah.
Because I love music and I love the interest. And when people have a hard time pronouncing the name, not only that, they have a hard time pronouncing the name and reading it, because when they write it, you're like, I have no clue what that says.
Sometimes they're a little too fancy.
Sometimes keeping it simple, stupid... It's the best thing for your music. Because if your music is amazing or it's really good or people like it, the name at the end, even if it's a more simple name, will not matter.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's if you want people to remember, and you want people to remember, because if you're in music, you want people to remember who you are, make it easy for your fans. Make it easy for people that are listening.
Absolutely. No, that's definitely smart. So let's finish off now. We're at Friday. So Saturday at the Chainsaw. See how these guys did on names. Mooch, Demon Skulls, Francium, and then the Faulty Rivals, who we just played earlier. So there's another great show. And then same night at the Boathouse, True North and Christ Choker. So, of course, that's a mix-up. Just by the way, that's all the... this is coming out of the Tri-Cities Metal Hardcore Punk Facebook group. This is where I'm reading this from. So if you are not already a member of that group, go ahead and join it. Not only is there a master list of shows going out, usually 2 to 3 weeks out for the Tri-Cities, but all kinds of bands are always posting in there their new releases, their upcoming shows, and of course, looking for a musician or a musician looking for a band, and all kinds of community support. So it's a great group to check out. We're already 11 o'clock. I think we have to get one more song in. We have to get Crimson Breed in. Before we do that, The Pit Radio Show Twitter, The Pit Radio Show Facebook, and where's the actual podcast?
You can find it on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
The Pit Radio Show. You can find it there. All my episodes are there. Or you can also find it on iTunes. Same thing, The Pit Radio Show. Or if you come to my social media pages, it's pretty easy. I have the links there. You can just click and 1, 2, 3, you're there. It will take you right to... So some people I know prefer iTunes. Some people prefer SoundCloud. Whatever. It's cool. It's all there.
New ones out every Friday afternoon?
Every Friday. Usually sometime after 3. Post them. That way if you can rock out on the weekend. And like I said, my thing is that if you do take the time to listen to the podcast, check out the music, go to their social mm-hmm. media, give them some love, give them a like, give them a follow. And especially if you get to see them to play, if you get one of those bands that you like and you're fortunate enough to go see them live. There are so many bands I play in Canada. You know what I wish? If I won the lottery, I would go to so many venues because I play bands from all over Canada and I hear about all these great venues going here and there and there. But that's what I want to do, but wouldn't that be cool? You spend a whole year going to different provinces.
Just get your own jet. Absolutely. Because I mean...
Every weekend you go, you could spend a week.
We haven't even left Kitchener-Waterloo.
And you're booked. You're booked solid.
Like three shows a night. So
exactly.
At Guelph and then forget, and then Toronto.
Yeah, forget Montreal, Bangkok, like everywhere.
It's insane. Absolutely. Absolutely. We got so much to talk about. I'd love to have you back on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I'll come back and yeah, keep doing what you're doing. I think that it's cool that there's, we need people to do what we do.
Absolutely.
We need people to give a voice to these bands, and I think it's awesome. And you're going to play Crimson Breed. They broke up, unfortunately. They're no longer, but I had a great, they had a great run with me. And then they were the second band that played when I was doing, Terrestrial Radio at the time.
Terrestrial Radio.
They did an acoustic set to the guys from Crimson Breed. I don't know what happened there, but thank you for the memories. That's all I can say. That's all you can really say as a fan. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing with music is that it stays there forever.
Yeah, that's true. And it's certainly not what I expected. And when I put the show together, I was all excited because I'm playing a brand new released single from Crimson Breed. Since then, they've broken up. So here's the brand new song from Crimson Breed, My Anything, on CKMS 102.7.